I recently came across a source written by somebody called Rav Aver, who is a big mashgiach in Petah Tikva. And he wrote a small kuntras for people who've been from their whole life who don't really believe in tshuva. That was his, that's his topic. And he really analyzes what, you know, all of our resistance to tshuva. We'd love to believe that it works, but we don't really believe it. And especially when you come back year after year and you're kind of like, you know, still saying the al-chitz on the same thing. So I just, because Dean Schechter mentioned it, I would like to mention it also. And then I'll go into our material for today. He explains that really, if you understand, based on Derech Hashem of the Ramchal, the whole reason for Bechira in the first place, he says, really, Hashem would have only created one option in the world, which is good choices. But in order for you to be able to get the schar of choosing good options, he had to create bad choices too, in order for you to be able to choose. So he really wants you on track A, which is all the right things, but track B was created for your good. Bad options have to be there in order to make free choice, to make you get schar for choosing. He says, but sometimes we get stuck in the system that was created for our good. Meaning we were supposed to be on track A. Track B was only supposed to be there as like an optical illusion in order to give us schar for track A. But also I find myself on track B, doing things that I didn't want to do that God doesn't want me to do. He says, if you understand that the whole purpose of bad choices was only for your good, as we just learned, because Hashem loves you so much, then what Hashem does is he creates an emergency path, like a quick shoot that brings you from path B back to path A. And that's called tshuva. So tshuva shouldn't work. I mean, if I do all these things, so like, why should it work? But if you understand that really the bad choices were only there for your good in the first place, and you're getting messed up by the system that was created for your good, and you're on the wrong track, then Hashem makes this little quick door called tshuva. And if you take it, it brings you back to the path of the good. And that's why tshuva really works. And that's why it makes sense, even though it doesn't make sense. And okay, well, we're going to talk a little bit today about the fact that just yesterday in Shul, for those of us who were able, it was a very interesting pandemic Shul davening different in different communities. But if you had a chance to hear the Chazan say this, and if not, you were definitely reading it from your Siddur, that at Natana Tokif, which is really like the climax of the Rosh Hashanah davening, when we talk about all the different things that are being decided on Yom HaDin, afterwards we call out very, very strongly and we say, Utshuva, Utfila, Utzdaka, Mavirin et Ra'a Hagzera. And that's a very powerful part of the davening. Now, where is this idea coming from? It's actually the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Amud. The Gemara says a little bit of a different nusach, and we're going to analyze the nusach here today. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Dalid Dvarim Mikarin Zar Dino Shel Adam. It's interesting because in Shul we say three things, but the Gemara actually says it's four things. What are the four things that rip up the Gzar Din on a person? One is Tzedakah. Number two is Sa'aka, yelling out to Hashem. The third is Shinui Shem, changing of your name. And the fourth is Shinui Ma'ase, the changing of action. Now, it's interesting because the Nusach of the Tefillah condenses the four into three. Tzedakah, we actually say with the same Lashon. Sa'aka is referred to as Tefillah. In the Nusach of the Utshuva, Utzvila, Utzdaka. And Tshuva is the combination of what the Gemara calls Shinoi Shem and Shinoi Ma'asa. So we're going to analyze this a little bit today and try to understand why do these four things change the Gzar Din on a person. Okay, so the Maharal comments that really these four elements change a person. And if the person is changed, then the Gzar Din is changed. Because if there was a Gzar Din done on a person, but that person has gone through some kind of transformation, Well, then that Gzar Din is not appropriate anymore. And that's why the Gzar Din is ripped up. So how do these four elements, Tzedakah, Sa'akah, Shinoi Shem, and Shinoi Ma'aseh, how do they affect us and how do they change us? Because there has to be something very transformational about those things if they are going to change the Gzar Din. So let's look at this for a second. Let's start with Tzedakah. Tzedakah is a very Jewish concept. Why should this actually change me? So we're going to say that people to take care of us. Why are things not going my way? What Tzedakah teaches me is that I am here to serve the world, and the world is not here to serve me. And Nadler says in the Kuntra Sachetet, the world is divided into givers and takers. And it's an essential definition whether a person perceives the world as that people are supposed to be taking care of me, that's the notlim, or that he is supposed to be taking care of others, and those are the notnim. And what Tzedakah does is Tzedakah can actually put you through a change. Because what Tzedakah is asking you to do is to use your assets to improve the quality of other people's lives. And money is something that we're all very sensitive about, but Tzedakah really represents much more than money. It's an attitude towards my assets. Are they here for me to hoard them and use them only for myself? Or are they here for me to actually improve Hashem's world? And this is a very important aspect when it comes to Gzar Din. Why is this? I always give my students this mashal that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter gives. He says, you know, we just started saying, Zachreinu l'chaim, melech hafetz v'chaim, v'katzveinu v'sefer achaim l'mancha elokim chaim. And the words Leman Chelokim Chaim, how do they actually fit into the flow of the tefillah? So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter explains that when you ask for life and you're asking for quality of life, Leman Chelokim Chaim is like a mantra that you have to adapt before you ask for anything. You ask yourself, am I using this? Hashem, if you give me this thing that I need, whatever it is that I'm asking for, am I going to use this Leman Chelokim Chaim? Am I going to use this to improve your world? And that becomes a very, very pivotal question. When a person says, whatever it is that I need in life, I'm not a mala. I want it for myself. But on the continuum or complete altruism, the concept of lemancha moves us up on the continuum. I'm not just living for myself. If you give this to me, Hashem, I'll enjoy it for myself, but I'll make sure to use it to improve your world. And this becomes the concept of lemancha lokim chayim. Am I using my assets to make his world a better place? Okay, why is this so important for Gzar Din? Because Rabbi Yisrael Salanter says, he gives an interesting mashal. I mean, I actually adapted the mashal a little bit, but you'll get the basic idea. If you want to buy a hammer and you go into a hardware store, it has a price tag, and if you have the money, you can buy the hammer. But if you're busy fixing somebody's house and you ask the homeowner if they have a hammer, they'll give it to you. And not only will they not charge you for it, but who pays who at the end? The homeowner pays you for using their hammer. Rishal Salanter says that when you ask for something for selfish reasons, so, you know, there's a cheshbon if you deserve it, you don't deserve it. But when you ask for something to improve Hashem's world, it's given to you for free and you get schar for using it for that purpose. And that's the very big difference. So at this time of year, when I have all my list of things that I want to ask Hashem for, I ask myself, is this in my toolbox to make his world a better place. And anything you're asking for, I was thinking, you know, some of us have like some problem, some unresolved issue in our life, and we're asking Hashem to solve it. So you could ask it in very human ways, like, you know, Hashem, this is really bothering me. Can you please take care of this? Or you could say, Hashem, if you take care of this, I'll be more available to help others, to improve the world for other people, take care of other people who are suffering. So I'm asking for the same thing. Can you please solve this problem for me? But the cheshbon is leman chalukim chayim. I want to be a happier person. I want to be more calm, because all those things will make me serve your world better. And this becomes what we can ask ourselves. So therefore, tzedakah transforms us into the kind of person who is a real giver, and it totally changes the cheshbon on us about whether we deserve or don't deserve whatever it is that we're asking for. I have to mention here, when I think about this, just a little story. I had a student who had a father who was a very big philanthropist. His name was Shlomo Zakheim, Alav Shalom. He passed away. And, you know, I'm not a very jealous person. I don't get jealous very easily. But when my beloved student used to tell me about her father, I used to get jealous. He was a person who was wealthy, but he used his assets to help people in ways that really brought out envy. You know, there was many years ago, there was a terrorist attack in Moshav Itamar in Israel. And the Fogel family, unfortunately, many of the members of the family were killed except for two survivors, two children. Now, I had listened to the news and I had never heard of the Fogels before, but I was devastated. Shlomo Zakheim heard the news and he was also devastated. He had also never heard of them before, but he decided to adopt the Fogel kids for the rest of their lives, meaning whatever their needs would be in any area, their education, their any needs was going to be him. I davened for Jonathan Pollard for those many, many, many days, but I had never met Jonathan Pollard. Shlomo Zakheim had also never met Jonathan Pollard, but he took his private plane to North Carolina once a month, introduced himself to Jonathan Pollard and said, whatever you need, I'm bringing it to you once a month. And one time he thought of this idea that he's going to fly the Fogel kids to America, bring them in his private jet to North Carolina so that the Fogels can give chizuk to Jonathan Pollard and Jonathan Pollard can give chizuk to the Fogels. This made me jealous. And then I said to myself, you know what? What's the legacy of a person like that? The legacy is use any assets you have to improve the quality of life for people who you've never met. And we can all do that in our own little way. Use our brain, use our hearts, use our assets. That's what tzedakah means. I don't have to know you and I don't have to have money, but whatever asset I have, I will use it to help improve the quality of your life. This transforms, it actually causes a transformation in a person and it makes the gzar din on him very, very different. Let's go on to number two. Number two is tzaaka. Tzaaka means to yell. Now, some of us are not yellers. And in the nusach of the tefillah, we say tshuva utfila utzaka. It doesn't say tzaaka. It says tefillah. But it says the word kol in some of your sidurim. You're supposed to raise your voice and call out to Hashem, and that changes the gzar din on you. Now, what about calling out to Hashem is transformational? So let's look at it this way. The Maharal says that calling out is a sign of a person needing. People who are completely self-sufficient don't have to yell and call out to anybody. But what we're doing this time of year is we call out to Hashem and we say, Hashem, I need you. I am not self-sufficient. And it's the vulnerability that causes the transformation. The ability to be vulnerable. We all like to walk around and pretend like everything's okay and it's all good. It's all under control. But what tzaaka does is it allows me to face vulnerability and to admit to Hashem that I really need him and I can't manage without him. When I was newly married, I was taking a walk with my husband once in the Jerusalem forest at the corner of Har Nof in Yerushalayim. And all of a sudden we hear screaming coming from the forest. We were terrified. Abba, help, help, help. We called the police. So the policeman says to us, where are you standing right now? And we said, we're in the Jerusalem forest. So he says to me, Gveret, you never heard of Breslov or Chassidim? And all of a sudden I realized that the yelling was not a yelling of somebody who was being attacked. It was somebody who was doing his bodedot in the forest and yelling out to Hashem. So I hope that if people ever really do need help, the police don't assume that they're just Breslov or Chassidim yelling out to Hashem. But, you know, not all of us are those kind of yellers. But the Maharal is telling you that tzaaka is vulnerability. It's the willingness to admit, and this becomes the concept of tzaaka. You know, a lot of us are very self-conscious. And there's a very interesting Gemara in Brachos. There's an interesting Gemara in Brachos, which talks about self-consciousness. I want to share it with you. The Gemara says the following. Amrulo Tamidav, B'sha'at Ptirato, so Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai, when Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai was passing away, his students turned to him and they asked him, Rabbeinu Barchinu, give us a bracha. And what did he say? He said, Yehi Ratzon Sheyeh Mora Shamayim Alechem Kimora Basar Vadam. He said, you should feel, I'm giving you a blessing. And what is this blessing? That you should fear God as much as you fear human beings. Now, they didn't like that bracha very much. So what did they say back? They said, Amrulo Rabbeinu, ad kan velo yoter? What? We should fear God more than we fear others? And you know what he said back, Rav Yochanan Zakkai? He said, Amar lahem halavai. Halavai, that you should fear God as much as you fear human beings. Now, what is this back and forth? In Shari Tshuva, Rabbeinu Yonah talks about this Gemara, and he says there was a little bit of a misunderstanding between Rabbeinu Yochanan ben Zakkai and the Talmidim. They thought that he meant that you should fear God as much as you fear human malchut, human judgment. And they didn't understand that comparison because, you know, human systems, law, court systems, they don't catch every avera. So why would a person possibly even fear them more than they would fear God? So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is saying back to them, Halavai, no, you misunderstood me. I wasn't comparing fear of God to fear of human leaders. I was comparing fear of God to fear of regular humans, your regular pedestrian. What's the idea here? Rabbeinu Yonah learns the idea of busha. He says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was not telling them that God does justice. He was saying, you are so self-conscious in front of other human beings. You're so careful about the way you act and what you say and what you do because you don't want them to see you doing anything inappropriate. He says, halavai, that you should realize that Hashem sees everything. And there's a very interesting idea that comes out of this Gemara. What the Gemara is teaching us is that a lot of our concept of Yira is about Hashem's omnipotence, that he's so powerful he can do anything, and that scares us. He says, no, he's not out to get you, as Dean Schachter just said, but you should fear his omniscience, the fact that he knows everything, not that he can do anything. Of course he can punish you, but that's not the idea. It's that you are so self-conscious in front of human beings to be caught in an uncomfortable situation. You have to realize Hashem is omniscient, who he knows everything. It's not just that he's kol yachol, he's kol yodeh. And therefore, busha becomes a concept. I know you love me, Hashem, and I know you're not out to get me, but I'm embarrassed to do this in front of you. If I'm embarrassed to do this in front of somebody on the street, then of course I should be embarrassed to do this in front of you. And therefore, what tzaaka is doing is it's making us face our vulnerability in front of Hashem. Meaning, it's not all about what human beings think about us. It's Hashem, you know it all. I can't hide anything from you. I don't want to hide anything from you. So I'm willing to go there with you. Maybe I won't admit this to other people because I'm embarrassed. But in front of you, I can admit anything. And that ability, that freedom to be able to be so real, because Hashem knows it anyway, that is transformational. And that's why tzaaka can change the gzar din on a person. Because the ability to call out and say, it's not so good, and things are not going the way I want, and I have made mistakes, and I do have this problem, and I'm willing to go there and admit it to you, Hashem. That is transformational. And that's what brings Hashem to change the gzar din. Okay. There's more to say on this point. Maybe I'll just share with you. I see some familiar faces here from some of my students who've heard this idea from me, so I apologize for repeating it. But why does it pay to admit something to Hashem? What's the value, and why would that affect a person's gzar din? So there's a pasuk in Tehillim Nun Aleph where we say, Zivchei Elokim Ruach Nishbara. Your sacrifice to Hashem is your broken spirit. Lev nishbar v'nitke, Elokim lo tivze. Hashem never turns away a broken heart. I say this to my students every year, that as somebody who teaches women, I always have to sift through the ideas and see if they're appropriate for girls. So the idea, zivche Elokim ruach nishbara, am I really telling somebody to break her spirit? Just be depressed and, you know, give it to Hashem. It seems that as women, we always struggle with our moods and our feelings anyway. And what's the idea here? And Rav Yisrael Salanter says that your biggest protection for Yom HaDin is your broken spirit. Okay, what do we do with this? So for many years, I didn't know how to teach this idea until I came across a source, a modern day mashgiach in Haifa by the name of Rav Uri Weissblum. He writes a commentary on Rav Yisrael Salanter, and he's almost like reading my mind. So he says, you think that Lev Nishbar is a Lev Shavur. He says it's two different things. A broken heart, like all the songs that sing about the broken heart, about somebody who gets rejected by their loved ones. He says, that's a Lev Shavur. That's not a Lev Nishbar. Lev Nishbar is Nifal. Nifal means that I did this proactive entry into my own heart. Nobody broke it for me. I was involved in the process of breaking my heart. And he redefines what a Lev Nishbar is. He says Lev Nishbar is proactive entry. We have a hardened heart. And sometimes at moments of vulnerability, we can open up our heart and go in there and understand something about ourselves that usually we don't have access. So if you read that interpretation back into the pasuk, Zivche Elokim Ruach Nishbara, your biggest sacrifice, your zevach, we don't have karbanos today. What's my karban that I'm bringing to Hashem? My self-awareness and my honesty. Lev Nishbar V'nitzke Elokim Lo Tivze, Hashem never turns away a person who's honest about himself. And therefore, that's what tzaaka is accomplishing. It's my being willing to admit my own vulnerabilities, my own inconsistencies, in front of Hashem who loves me. And even if I can't change it all, the fact that I can admit it in front of him is already transformational and it changes the gzar din on me. Okay, let's go into number three. Number three in the Gemara is Shinoi Shem. This is maybe the hardest one to understand. The Gemara says the changing of a name. I always say, doesn't mean that Francesca has to become Shayna Fega. That's not what the Gemara is trying to say. So what is the Gemara telling us about Shinoi Shem? So the Maharal says that people change their name. It's like a sign of a change in life. It's like a rite of passage. It's like when people become a doctor or a professor or a missus. It's like some kind of change in life and status that adds or changes something to my name. And the Maharal says that what Shinoi Shem represents is not so much the technical aspect of changing your name. Some people also do that sometimes. He says, it's not that. It's that it represents that I see myself as being a different person. And that's what Shinui Shem means. I'm not the same person I was before this change of status took place. I think what the Gemara is trying to teach us here is that a Baal Tshuva is a Bria Hadasha. He's a new creation. And we don't always believe it. I'm different than I was a month ago. I'm a new person. But Hashem accepts Tshuva as a Bria Hadasha. And what the Gemara is trying to teach is that if you believe that, that even with small changes, I'm a different person than I was a while ago, then the Gzar Din was done on person A. But now with my new change of name, I'm person B. And the Gzar Din is different because I'm a different person. And I think that we don't always believe the koch of tshuva to change a person. You know, sometimes I look at people who've changed a lot in their lives. And, you know, sometimes we watch them change, so we don't even, you know, realize how they've developed and how they've become a new person. I once had a really interesting story, not typical of me, but I'll tell this because I think it proves the idea. When I was once on a bus with when I was a new mother with a young son, and I was on a bus with some guys who had come to Israel for the year to learn in what I guess is called the yeshiva, but it might have been more like a rehabilitation center kind of yeshiva, you know, the type that, you know, they don't get around to the book so much. They're doing other things to change. And I was sitting on this bus with my three-year-old son, and the guys in front of me were cursing terribly, and they were on their way to Eilat, and they were discussing what they intended to do in Eilat, and I'm not going to go into details of what that conversation was. It was very graphic and it was very not pleasant. For the only time I can ever remember in my whole life, I actually stuck my fingers in my little three-year-old's ears because I didn't want to hear this awful conversation. It's not my kind of thing to do. Fast forward around 5 years, my husband met some guy somewhere, some young guy, who started coming to us for Shabbos very, very frequently. And he was learning in a very good, serious yeshiva. And he became, you know, he had a relative who lived somewhere in our area. And he started coming often. It must have been the 10th time that he came for Shabbos that I was serving the soup on Friday night. And I caught his side profile. And I almost dropped the soup on him. I suddenly realized that this is the guy who was sitting in front of me 5 years ago, where I put my fingers in my son's ear. And you know what? He had been my guest so many times and I had not noticed it because he had the face of an angel. The person who I remembered had this angry, like very, very blunt, you know, I can't even describe it. And the person who had visited my house many times was a Bria Hadasha, was a refined person whose everything about him was different. Even his facial look was different. And at that moment, I said, this is what it means that tshuva makes somebody a Bria Hadasha. We don't believe it, but people transform in life. And one of the saddest things that we do is that we peg people and we kind of like, we remember them at a certain stage when they had a certain behavior or what they did, and we don't allow them to transform. But God gives more credit than that. And he allows all of us to transform, whether it's in small ways or big ways, we become a Bria Hadasha. So Shinui Shem, the Maharal says, is an indication of a new person, a different status. And therefore the Gzeira is no longer applicable. It doesn't belong there anymore. And that is the value of Shinui Shem. So even if a person doesn't technically change their name, the point is that you believe in the koach of tshuva to make you into a new person. And that causes the Gzar Din to be changed. Okay, let's deal with the final point that in the Gemara. The final point is Shinui Ma'aseh. And here we have an interesting debate between different sources as to what does Shinui Ma'aseh really mean? Does a change of action, is it referring to what the Rambam later says in Hilchos Tshuva, that a person literally changes his actions. I speak to my students often about the Rambam in Hilchot Tshuva, Perek Bet, Halacha Bet, very difficult Rambam, where the Rambam defines tshuva in a way that's very difficult. He says, Ya'id alav yodea ta'alumot shelo yashuv lezeh hachit le'olam. Hashem, who knows all hidden things, knows that this person will never return to that action ever again. This is a very, very difficult Rambam. Now, in fact, it's so difficult that most of the commentators on the Rambam do not take the Rambam literally. They say that the person desires to never repeat the action again. If he could, he would never repeat it again. But as Rabbi Yisrael Salanter popularized the concept of a permanent commitment in a small area, Kabbalah shel kayama b'p'china kala, he's coming off of this Rambam. He says, the Rambam says that Hashem, who knows everything about you, knows that you'll never do this ever again. So that this is going to have to be something very, very small, because the word never really, really scares us. How many things do we say never about? But let's be honest, girls. At best, maybe one or two tiny, tiny commitments can we say la'olam about. But what about the other things? What about the changes that I'd like to make that I'm not going to be able to say la'olam about them? So I want to look at a different Rambam that's actually very, very interesting. The Rambam in the next parak, in Parak Gimel, the Rambam defines something fascinating. We also know this Rambam. We've heard it before. Kol ha-mitvadeh b'dvarim v'lo gamar b'libo la'azov. If you say this, you're mitvadeh, you said the words, you said the vidoy, but you didn't really decide to leave this chet. Domeh l'tovel v'sheretz b'yado. It's considered similar to somebody who is tovel, immerses himself in a mikvah, but he's holding a sheretz. He's holding a asur creature in his hand. She'ein hatzvila mo'elet lo ad she'ashlich hasheret. That it doesn't really work until he drops the thing. You can't go into a mikvah with a tummy animal holding it in your hand. So Rav Kapelman, who was a big rav from Switzerland, wrote a very, very interesting idea, a fascinating idea about this Rambam. He says, why does the Rambam have to say that you're holding a sheret? Anybody who knows the halachot of tefillah knows that you're not allowed to hold anything when a person is being tovel in a mikvah. Meaning I could be holding a brush, a pen, and it's called a chatzitza. Chatzitza is something that stays, that gets between me and the water. And when we wash in tilat yadayim, we always take off our rings because that's considered a chatzitza. So if Kapelman says, why did the Rambam give a mashal of a person holding a sheretz? Because anything he would have been holding would already make the tefillah not kosher. So here he gives a fascinating interpretation. He says, it must be that the person who's holding the sheretz is not holding it very strongly. Because if it's separated between him and the water, if he was holding the pen tightly or the creature tightly, it would be called a chatzitza. So he claims, or Kavala claims, that the Rambam is giving you a very specific image to think about. This person is loosely holding the sheretz. Loose enough that it's not a chatzitza. The water can go between the finger and the sheretz, and he's not really grasping it hard. So then the issue is that it's a sheretz, that's the problem, but it's not a chatzitza. Why does Rav Kapelman give this very interesting description of the Rambam? Because we all talk about this. Tovel v'sheretz v'do, tovel v'sheretz v'do. Usually when we talk about it, we mean somebody's being hypocritical. They're going to purify themselves, but they're holding something impure. It's like a mitzvah baba vera. That's the way we usually use this concept of tovel v'sheretz v'do. But Rav Kopelman gave me a new image to think about. This is somebody who's holding the Avera, but he's holding it very loosely. It's a Sheretz, it's an Avera, but he's holding it loosely. What does this mean, girls? It means that he's a little bit ambivalent about it. He does not want to hold this Avera. He's embarrassed by what he's doing. But he's also not ready to totally let go of it. So he's holding it loosely. And that's what Tovel v'Sheretz B'Adom means. And I found this fascinating because it gives you an image that the Rambam is giving you about ambivalence that we have sometimes towards some things that we'd like to change. I want to change it. I'm not grasping it powerfully, but I'm not quite ready to throw it away. So I'm holding it loosely, loose enough that it's not a chatzitza, but it's still affecting the tefillah. I think that this image is real, is very, very real. We have the things that we're willing to part with, and we just wish we could part with them. And then we have certain behaviors or certain patterns that maybe there's a certain side benefit I get out of them. Maybe there's some ambivalence I have. I enjoy this, but I know it's not right, but I enjoy it anyway. And then that's what the Rambam is relating to. He's relating to the concept of Tova v'Sheretz B'Ado, because he's saying that Shinoi Ma'aseh, let's get back to the Rambam in Perek. We said there's one in Perek Beis Halacha Beis, and the other one is in Perek Beis Halacha Gimel. I'm sorry, it wasn't Perek Gimel, it's Halacha Gimel. The Rambam is giving us two images. He's telling you about leaving a sin forever, and then he's telling you about people who clutch loosely to their sins. And here, we're being asked to really try to identify what is my relationship to this action. Am I ready to be Mekayim the Rambam in Halacha Beis? Or am I still loosely clutching it like Halacha Gimel? And this is something for us to think about. What happens when you're in the middle? Meaning, I cannot say la'olam. The demand of the Rambam in Halacha Beis is a very, very hard demand. Shelo yashuv lezeh hachit la'olam. But the Mefarshim of the Rambam say that it could be that the Rambam didn't mean that you'll never do this ever again. Rav Yisrael Salanter believed that. But the words of the Rambam are, it doesn't say, Ya'id alav, yodea atidot, that God who knows the future knows that you'll never do this again. It says, yodea ta'alumot. Ta'alumot, a ta'aluma is a mystery. God who knows the hidden mysteries of my soul, he knows the depth of how I feel. He will say, shelo yashuv lezechid le'olam. Meaning, and this is a different way to look at the Rambam, girls, that what the Rambam is saying is that Hashem knows in your heart if you're ambivalent or not about leaving this sin. Meaning, maybe I don't have a plan. Maybe it's too hard. Maybe it's going to take me many, many years. But if you look inside the depth of my heart, I wish I could just drop it forever. And maybe that's why the Rambam then goes on to say that Tovel v'Sheretz B'Ado is not a good position to be in. We're being asked this time of year to at least not be ambivalent about the actions that are inappropriate. Will I actually be able to leave it forever or not? That's a separate discussion. But at least I can say that I wish I could leave it. I'm not loosely clutching it. Deep in my heart, Hashem knows that I'm ready to send this off. Now back to the Maharal. The Maharal says that Shinoi Ma'aseh rips up the Gzar Din of a person. We cannot say La'olam about everything, but at least we could want La'olam. We could want to part from certain behaviors. We could be committed to parting from them. And this itself is very, very powerful. Because otherwise we have a little cognitive dissonance, ladies. Our list of things that we want to change, we have quite a few things there. We're not going to change everything immediately. So you can take the Rambam literally la'olam about a tiny little Kabbalah and you can at least try to let go of the sheretz completely in your intention. Because we can't change everything, but at least our ratzon is to really, really part with certain behaviors. The Gemara in Yom Lamed Ches says, a person wants to make a bad choice. The world is a democratic society. You can do whatever you want. Hashem's not stopping you from choosing bad. If a person wants to be purified, he gets siyata dishmaya. And then the Gemara goes on to give a beautiful mashal for this. The Gemara gives a mashal of a store that only sells two items. It sells neft, which is gasoline, and it sells afar simon, which is persimmon extract, was used as perfume in the time of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ba liknot neft, omer lo hamocher, midot atal atzmecha. This is in Yom Lamed Ches. The owner says to him, I sell gasoline, but it's self-service. The Gemara was talking about self-service gas stations way back then, didn't exist yet. But you know, yeah, I do sell neft, but take it yourself. Ba liknot afar simon, but if he comes to buy perfume, omer lo hamocher, the owner says to him, Hamtinli, wait for me. Ve'emdod itcha, and I'll measure it out with you. Kideshinit basem aniva ata. It's a beautiful source. The store owner is excited when you want to buy perfume. And he says, let me measure it for you so that you and I can share the good smell of your good choices. And that is what Balde Taher means. Bala Taher does not mean that I have all the solutions to everything. It means that from the depth of my heart, as the Rambam is saying, Ya'ir alav yodea talumot. Hashem, who knows all the hidden depths, knows shelo yashuv lezeh chet la'olam, that if it was in my hands, I would part with this forever. And that's Bala Taher. But Hashem, I need you to help me with this process because it's too big for me. And Hashem says, good. I'm so happy that you want to be there. And let's share the good smell of your good decision. And that's what the Gemara is telling us. So tshuva is an attitudinal change. And if we go back to the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Tetzayin, shunei ma'aser is transformational because I'm willing to examine behaviors and change certain things. There's another way to look at shunei ma'aser, and that's really relevant to aseret yemei tshuva. And we'll wind down with this. The Mishnah Berurah brings down that people had a custom to take on temporary things for Aseret Yemei Tshuva, things that they weren't going to keep all year round, but you know, like these little behaviors just for Aseret Yemei Tshuva. The Mishnah Berurah quotes a pat akum, certain types of chumras and kashrut that people don't have all year round. So the question we always have on this concept, isn't this hypocritical? I'm trying to win favor in the eyes of Hashem and Aseret Yemei Tshuva, so I'm going to take on some kind of temporary behavior that I'm not really going to come up, and it's not really my level. So what is this? So the way we understand this is that Shinui Ma'aseh is not necessarily that permanent resolution, but it can also be a temporary behavioral change that I just take on for Aseret Yemei Tshuva. Now, what's the value of doing something temporary? I don't usually volunteer in hospitals, but for Aseret Yemei Tshuva, I'm gonna go. Or I don't usually daven this part of the davening, but I'll do this for this time. What's the value? The way we understand this is that even temporary shunei ma'aseh shakes up a system. Meaning, you know, you have your habits and the way you do things, and then you change something in the habit, you know, people who reach a plateau in dieting or exercising are often recommended to change something in their routine to maybe start the system again. So the other way to look at shinoi shem is shinoi ma'aseh is the temporary shinoi ma'aseh. It's something that I'm going to do differently for this time of year even if I'm not going to keep it up all the way around, because it shakes me up. You know, writing a letter to somebody who feels very neglected by you. Picking up the call to call somebody who wishes you'd be in contact, you never have time for them. Little changes, putting effort into something that I usually don't put that much effort into. This is more about what it does to me, that it transforms me. It shakes me up a little bit. And it opens up the path for future change. In fact, the Sforno says that we are considered an Amkshe Oref, a stubborn nation, a stiff-necked nation. Because the nature of the neck is that if you keep it only in one place and you never move it, it ends up getting very, very stiff. And we're an Amkshe Oref. We have the ways we like to do things, and we don't like to change our patterns. But Shinoi Ma'aseh is about spiritual flexibility. I'll try this a little differently. I usually don't make this mitzvah top priority. I have other things going on. But for now, for Asaras Yemei Tshuva, I should put some more effort into this. Or usually I don't have time for this person. I just give her a quick hello when I pass her. But now for Asaras Yemei Tshuva, I'll stop and I'll talk to her for a few minutes and give her a thank you. Because really what it does is that it sets a road for being flexible, for not being stuck in your ways. And that itself is so important, because as a person, the Gzar Din was on stubborn me with my stubborn patterns. But as soon as I show Hashem that I'm able to be spiritually flexible, it also has it opens the path for flexibility in other areas. And therefore, Shinoi Ma'aseh does not necessarily have to be the one that the Rambam is talking about in Hilchos Tshuva, but could also be the advice of the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah for the temporary Shinoi Ma'aseh that we take over Asaras Yemei Tshuva. Okay, I just want to wind down, ladies, by telling you that I think that this time that we're in right now is a very, very special time. You know, unfortunately, some of us are motivated a lot by fear when it comes this time of year, and tshuva, and I better change, and what's going to happen with the world? I want to share with you a beautiful idea about Ni'ilah. You know, the ultimate panic and that climax of that fear is Ne'ilah. The gates are closing. And we say, Hashem Elokim, wait. A very beautiful reframe on Ne'ilah is that to be Noel something is to seal it. To seal it in. What we do this time of year is that there's such beautiful, beautiful spiritual awakenings in us. So much desire for purity. And then Ne'ilah comes and it seals it all in. The gates are closing, but they're not shutting us out. They're actually sealing in all the beautiful, beautiful avodah and all the sincerity of this time of year. So as we work over these days, we realize that it's a gift. It's special to be able to awaken that desire for purity. And when it culminates by Ne'ilah, we hopefully will have sealed in the sincerity, the commitments, the desire for higher life. The idea of the Kabbalah, of taking on a Kabbalah, Rav Huttner says in the Sefer Pachad Yitzchak, what does it matter if you just take a little change on? Come on, there's so many things we want to change in life. What's the little change doing? And he says so beautifully that our lives are very out of control, especially these days. You know what? We want to always be growing and getting better, but we have good years and bad years. We have ups and downs. We improved in a certain area and then we had a setback. We were so patient with this person, now we have no patience for them anymore. We wish we could always be on a path going up, but life doesn't always allow us to be that way. And life has all the ups and downs. Rav Huttner says that in your little Kabbalah, your tiny little permanent resolution, is an area where you're going to get back next year and the arrow is up because you've made a permanent commitment. He says what that little tiny commitment does is it shows that your nefesh is always running after a future that's brighter than the present. I think it's such a beautiful way to understand the Kabbalah. We're keeping the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, Shelo Yashuv L'Zechit La'olam. That's the halachic aspect. The tshuva's in your pocket, girls. And if you didn't have an inspiring Rosh Hashanah, and if you didn't get to the shul of your choice, and if you didn't have Nisana Tokef, You have your little Rambam, the Chosuva, Perik Bez, Alakha Bez, it's in your pocket. You did Tshuva Gemura in a tiny area. Perfect. But on a spiritual level, what we show on a philosophical level, we show Hashem, Hashem, I wish that the arrow was always going to go up in my life. I wish that next year would always be better than the previous year. So my little Kabbalah shows you that my nefesh is being rodeh after a future that's always gonna, that's better than the present. And that little Kabbalah shows that the arrow is going up. And that shows my sincerity to Hashem. And we should be all bezocha to a Gemara Chasima Tova, to have a future that is bright and always be on the way up. And we should be zocha to be able to seal in all the sincerity of this time period and have wonderful news for on a personal and on a collective level. Thank you very much, everybody. Thank you.